time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
All right, that was us, and welcome to a Monday. Happy New Year. I know we were officially on last Friday, but that kind of doesn't count for our new year. But we are here with you this evening, a little bit hour later than we are, 6 to 8 usually, 7 to 9. But as I said, during the Panthers and the Heat season kind of dance around a little bit. And yes, Trevor Harris, I did catch the Winter Classic last week. Wow. I like it better when they're playing outside and it's snowing and all that stuff. But whatever it is, it is. But Panthers got to put it in gear. I know a lot of people keep saying, hey, you know, they got to play better. They got to play better just to get in the playoffs. And we'll see, you know, starting to get healthy a little bit. But we're here to talk high school football and recruiting and stuff up until 9 o'clock. Glad you could be with us in our first show. And a lot of things going on. Obviously, you know, this Thursday, the University of Miami semifinals. How about that? Semifinals. So I would imagine we will be with you about 5 o'clock with Danny and Brian Monroe this week, since it's is it a 4 to 7 or 4 to 7:30 or 4:30 to 7:30?
It will be 4 to 6:30 before network starts at 6:30. Anyways,
okay, all right, but we'll be on with you as we kind of extend our postseason. Hopefully we'll do that for 2 more weeks. That would be nice to play a national championship game. Wow. What a up and down season it's been for the Hurricanes, for football in general. But nevertheless, we are here. And there is so much going on over the weekend. We are up at the Under Armour game, which was actually, the practices were at Disney's Wide World of Sports, and then the game was at Stetson University. Had an opportunity to see quite a few Floridians that were in the game, especially local Floridians from St. Thomas Aquinas. They're using juniors, and I think we're going to get into that a little bit more tonight. We're going to have in our second hour Chad Wilson from Gridiron Studs. Both of his sons played in the NFL. So he's more than familiar with the recruiting process, and we are into the NIL, and the NIL is taking over in so many different ways. And and I think it's cutting into these all-star games because of the fact that people don't realize what the NIL entails when you sign a name, image, and likeness contract with these agents. These colleges are going to want you to be healthy when you get in January, in most cases now, because this week and next week are when this next wave of talent reports to the colleges around the country. And I think in Miami's case, I think they have all but one or two. We even saw the big lineman that was at the couple of their recruits for this year were at the Cotton Bowl game. So, so it's become big business. So the NIL, in essence, what's going to happen is they're going to want you healthy, and they're not going to let you play in these all-star games. Because now, I don't know last year if their intention to add juniors was because of that. But this year, when I was at the Under Armour game, I think it was more evident that coming next year and in the years after, I don't think you're going to see a lot of seniors. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Because if you're signing that contract and you're practicing that week, and, you know, they're not going hard because, you know, back in the day, they'd go a week. And they hit a little bit, but now, no, I don't even think they're basically touching each other. And then in the game, just because the conditions the other day were kind of wet, and you slip and something happens, you know, you tear something, you break something, and then all of a sudden your spring is gone. Because that's the intention now when they sign you to the NIL, whether you are a transfer portal player coming in from college or whether you're at high school, a football player that is coming in for the first time, their intentions over a four-month period, you know, in the first, January, February, March, and April, is to get you bigger, faster, stronger, and acclimated to the college life. And that's what happens. So now you're in a situation where you don't want to get injured. And if you go in and then, you know, you're going to get to when you go in now or in the next couple of weeks, it's conditioning, it's weight training, it's, you know, throwing the ball around with the team, you know, without the coach there, obviously, watching film, learning the playbook. And then when spring officially starts, whether it's in March, I guess in some cases, maybe late March, because I know they have spring games into April, you're vying for position, you know, second or third team, excuse me, and that's what's happening. So you're in a situation where now with the NIL money coming in, even high school, okay, you know, I mean, they're getting some pretty good chunk of change for high school kids now too, albeit, you know, the portal, you know, I see today where the quarterback from Cincinnati looks like he's headed to Texas Tech, and there's a $5 million price tag. And we all wonder why a couple years ago Caleb Williams was kind of teetering between staying at USC or going to play for the Chicago Bears, because at the time he was getting NIL money. Plus he was doing commercials for Wendy's, and he was doing commercials for Dr. Pepper and Nissan. So they're making X amount of dollars. And you say to yourself, well, wait a minute. The guaranteed contract for the rookies in the NFL is nowhere near that. You know, you're slotted and you're going to make money, obviously, down the line. But see, that's something they have to iron out. And then you have all these agents now handling the NIL contracts. And, you know, they want their slice of the pie. And you could see all these people. It's crazy because even the NFL agents, you know, the Drew Rosenhauses and such, you know, they've gotten active into this too, you know, and because, hey, why not? You know, they've already had a running start on it. So, yeah, and we'll definitely talk a little bit more in our second hour with Chad Wilson about that, because, I mean, obviously he's a lot more familiar with it. But in the meantime, now we have local all-star game, you know, a lot of players that are participating. You know, like I said, we had the three juniors. We'll have one of them on tonight, Zayden Gamble, who had extensive playing time as a junior in the all-star game this past week. And that kind of got me thinking when I was at the game. I'm thinking, well, geez, there's a few seniors here who are on their way to Oklahoma or, you know, wherever, FSU or Florida or some of the bigger school, you know, some of the Alabamas and such, Ohio State. But there's also underclassmen now that are being allowed to play in these games, and they're using them probably as much. And we'll get into that with Zayden too, and asking him, you know, because even though we saw what happened in the game, and I know the practices, you know, they get an opportunity to, you know, kind of mix it up in the practices as well. And this week, the scene shifts to San Antonio for the Navy game, Navy All-American game. It used to be called the Army All-American game. Now it's the Navy All-American game. And our very own Mike Smith, the head coach at American Heritage Plantation, is the head coach for the East Squad. We're going to talk to him in just a few minutes. And you know, he's out there. He got, you know, he arrived there yesterday, and they have, you know, their practices, and then they have, you know, they have a lot of things going on as far as that's concerned. So, you know, yeah, there's you never know what's going to, you know, take place in a lot of these situations. When a lot of these kids now, what's going to happen for the high schools, you know, now they're starting their 7-on-7s, they're starting a few other things to get ready for the following seasons. They have their combines, they have all that stuff like that. And that's what happens with the high school kids now. They're going to be doing that right up until spring. You know, that's the same thing as always from the high school kids. But now you're going to find a lot more of these young men that are going to be starting to be called upon to sign with these agencies and sign. That's where we are as far as the NIL, the postseason. All this stuff is kind of unfolding, with the recruiting, and this time of year, we have another national signing day. The NIL stays open for a couple weeks. If you look now, right now, it seems like a lot of these targets are quarterbacks. I know Texas, like I just said, Texas Tech is going after a quarterback. I see where DJ Lagway is in Tallahassee, and he's talking a little bit to Florida State. So that's basically where we're at as far as the recruiting is concerned. As I said, now is the time where the next wave of talent, the rising senior class of 2027 in high school, the 2028s, which will be junior, they're starting to get themselves on the map. They'll do it at these, you know, Rivals or Under Armour combines that'll be coming up over the next couple months. We'll have a load of 7-on-7 tournaments. I go to a few. You know, it's one of those things. You know, you get a chance to see a couple of the kids. And it's good, you know, it's good for, you know, you to see them and them to see you a little bit. So, yeah, so that's where we're at as far as that's concerned. The colleges will start, you know, trying to see what they can get out of the portal and then go back into their high school recruiting. And that's the one thing we've talked about why Miami's success, what it has been. Yeah, they went heavy into the portal. I mean, you look at the line, you look at the linebackers, and then certainly the defensive backs. Miami went into the portal for receivers. But at the same time, look at Malachi Toney and look at Bryce Fitzgerald and look at some of these freshmen who had an opportunity that they recruited to play a huge role. And I think that if they would have done the voting, for the all rookie team nationally, you'd have to think that Bryce would have made it because he finished he has 6 interceptions, which is tied for second in the country. So what Malachi Toney's been able to do, and then obviously you get your Carson Becks and, you know, players, but you're still using players that you've recruited. And, you know, that's the important part of the whole deal. So, yeah, it's a great, great idea to get your portal players and get your established players. And, you know, I went round and round the last couple of days up there talking to some coaches and some high school coaches from around the country who were on hand, you know, with their kids. And we talked about that, you know, that in now when you have these – amazing offenses, experience offenses, it's tough to think that a high school freshman is going to vie for playing time. You're going to go out and get that fourth year senior, that fifth year senior who has a year left and who has that experience because, and I know it's, you know, that I reiterate and say the same thing over and over again about that. You know, you don't want to be putting a $20 watch band on a $1 million watch. It's just, I'm sorry. That's where we're at. And I know a lot of the parents of high school quarterbacks, and not just quarterbacks, there's a lot of positions where you fit in. So that's where we're at. As I said, tonight, really good show. We try to come at you every week with a really good show. About 8:25 or 8:35 or so, we'll kind of wrap up the 2025 high school football season. Our good friend Zach Poff, the national recruiting editor from Max Preps, will stop by. We'll talk about some of the national teams. We'll talk about the finish that some of the Florida teams did. Especially with St. Thomas Aquinas. At 8:25, really special guest, Christy Krueger. You know her from WPLG Channel 10, but there's something you probably didn't know about her. She's the daughter of a former NFL and college football coach, Phil Krueger. So we'll get into it with her. She's a big sports fan. There's a lot of people already who know her. Already know, Gator, University of Florida graduate, but we'll talk a little bit. What was it like to be, a girl in a household of football and having a father who is so prestigious as a coach as well? We'll talk to Christy about 8:25. We mentioned that we're going to have Chad Wilson from Gridiron Studs on. Chad always comes on with us. We talk NIL. We'll even get into a little bit of University of Miami with him. He is a University of Miami product, played at the University of Miami back in the day, at defensive back. Speaking about that, Gio Milian will join us. We'll talk University of Miami against Ole Miss on Thursday, about 7:50. About 7:35, as I mentioned, Zayden Gamble, who's a junior at St. Thomas Aquinas, he'll join us. And then in just a few minutes, we'll head out to San Antonio to talk to Mike Smith, two-time defending state champion from American Heritage Plantation, who is the head coach of the East for the Navy Bowl, which will take place on Saturday. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we talk a little bit of high school football. Mike Smith, the head coach from American Heritage Plantation, and Zayden Gamble, a junior defensive back from St. Thomas Aquinas, will join us next.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, back with you on a Monday night. Glad you could be with us on our South Florida high school's football radio show, sports show. We do it all. And our first show, first live show of the year. Glad you could be with us up until 9 o'clock this evening. As I mentioned, over the weekend, Under Armour took place up state. And now they will have the Navy All-American game coming up on Saturday in San Antonio. It used to be the Army All-American game. We have a few players involved in it, but we have the head coach of the East team, somebody who's done an awesome job at American Heritage Plantation the last 2 years with state championships. We welcome in head coach Mike Smith. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. I know that I'm getting you at a tough time, but what a rewarding time it is for you and Amari Nugent and Coach Porter and yourself, and getting an opportunity to go out and participate in a game like that. First of all, a happy new year to you, and thanks so much for taking the time.
Same to you, Larry. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a tremendous honor to be chosen to coach in this game, and Coach Porter's out here with me as well, and Amari Nugent. We got a couple other local guys. Nick Lanier is out here. Wesley Wynn from St. Andrews is out here. So, it's a tremendous honor for all of us to be chosen for, to be a part of this game.
Yeah, and, the one thing I did notice in last year, Coach, they added underclassmen to the game. And I don't know if that was intentionally because of the fact of the NIL, but I did notice being up at Under Armour this week that more and more 2027 underclassmen were there and were playing. And I don't know if that has anything to do with the NIL, but I would imagine as we get more into it, it probably will, because of the fact that, you know, as well as I do, and within the 10-day span, these kids that you have there, plus the ones that I just saw, will be on campus at colleges. And, you know, much like Malachi last year and Mark and, you know, a lot of the players that you've had, do you see that the NIL kind of will morph these games into maybe junior or underclassmen games eventually?
Well, I coached in the game 3 years ago when we had Mark and Ennis. And really, you start to see signs of it then with guys that had been chosen to play in the game, but were already on campus. So we were actually changing the roster as the week went on, when we found out more and more guys were going to be on campus and they couldn't be a part of the game. So I think that's exactly why the game has gone to more underclassmen, because, you know, now everybody wants a kid to early graduate. Plus you have NIL money and all that. So, you know, it's kind of opened the door for the underclassmen at this point, you know, because I mean, you know, look at it. You got guys at the University of Miami right now that were playing high school and they're already on campus. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's why the game has gone this direction. It almost had to go this direction because of, you know, the early enrollment in the NIL. But that's, you know, that seems to be, you know, the way that this is going to go now.
Yeah, and it is. It is sort of the nature of the beast. And you know, like I, you know, sat down with a lot of the coaches, and you know, there's a lot of coaches from all over the country at these games, and they all have differing opinions. But at the end of the day, if, you know, you're paying a young man to go, you know, X amount of dollars, you want, the objective is to get him on campus for him to compete for depth in the first, absolutely, you know, by the spring. Because if you notice last year, and I said this during the spring game when everybody was asking me about Malachi, I said, well, look, he's playing a key role now in the spring game. So that kind of means that this is where they want him to be. They want him to be ready when summer comes. And you know what? If you're paying the money, and I understand, because I'm not getting into that, because that's a whole different pay scale for me.
So, right.
But I'm just saying, I understand. Okay. If that's the direction we're going, then I understand. But at these games too, you get an opportunity to coach some elite kids. I mean, you know, you're around a lot of top flight players, and especially South Florida, we have a huge advantage, because no matter what week you're in, you're going to be playing somebody who's going to be playing on Sundays eventually. So for you to be in this situation with Coach Porter, as you mentioned, talk about that, because I think that's a great opportunity, because you're going to see kids, and you're going to coach kids, and you're going to be around kids for this week that are elite, but nothing you've not seen before.
Right. But it's just the experience of being around, you know, people outside of our South Florida bubble, you know what I'm saying? Just to, right, coaches included, like that's the part that I enjoy about it. You know, is that, you know, my coaching staff, it's me and Coach Porter, and then, you know, it's guys that are from outside the state. So, you know, we got to kind of pick each other's brains, kind of, you know, we kind of see that we all got the same things going on, but on different scales. And, you know, and then you get around some of these kids, and especially now for the underclassmen, they get a real opportunity to see what else is out there, what they're actually competing against. You know, right, we do have elite talent in South Florida, but it kind of gives you a big picture of, you know, what else is out there. And you know, and again, you know, the level of competition that some of these other states are playing at. So, you know, I take it as a learning experience, and just, you know, again, I get to pick the brains of some of the top high school coaches in the country, and they're doing a lot of great things. And I have a really good staff right now that I'm actually learning a lot from. So, you know, it's a good week. It's a fun week for the kids, but for me, I just, like I said, I'm blessed to be given this opportunity to be around so many elite people.
Yeah, no doubt. Mike Smith's our head coach from American Heritage Plantation. Let's talk about this season. I haven't had a chance to talk to you since the state championship game. And I kind of reflect back to when you and I were talking on the auxiliary field over there at PAL before the plantation game, when it was raining and there was kind of a lightning delay. And you were kind of down in the dumps because of the way things were happening injury-wise. You know, you lost a couple of players. And certainly at that time, you know, you really didn't know what was going to happen. You have your schedule was crazy. And we talk about, you know, out of state. I mean, you opened up with St. Joe's of Pennsylvania. You play Edna Carr, Louisiana, which ended up finishing, what, in the top eight in the country. So you've had a crazy schedule and how things worked out. Talk about that, because you guys started playing well at the right time. You know, you rebounded after a loss and didn't win the district, which was kind of new. But at the same time, you guys became the underdogs, which was kind of different for this program. Talk about that and, you know, how this team came together and ended up winning yet another state championship.
You know, you look back on it and it was tough. It was definitely tough at times. It was a roller coaster ride of a season. But I think a lot of that stuff happened for a reason. You know, I really do. I feel like being in that position going into the playoffs and not being the favorite, not being talked about, you know what I'm saying? Kind of being the, you know, it sounds kind of crazy for us, but kind of being the forgotten man going in, you know, it kept the kids focused. It kept the coaches focused. I mean, I knew what I had as in that locker room. I knew the type of kids I had. I knew how resilient they were. It was just a matter of us getting healthy and then getting a little bit of rhythm. And then, you know, I go back to Leon Schroeder that for him, it was just understanding our system and gaining confidence with the group around him. And he played his best ball in the playoffs. And that was a huge part of, you know, the success that we had as well. I keep talking about, you know, the way that we scheduled, but the adversity is necessary a lot of times. The adversity is necessary because it hardens the kids. And, you know, when you're going through it and you're like, well, it's going to pay off in the end, you kind of question whether it is or it isn't. But I've seen it now for two seasons that scheduling hard has really given these kids a resolve and really has molded them heading into the playoffs that it doesn't matter what kind of momentum, you know, momentum swings happen in college or in high school football all the time, you know, and our kids don't flinch at that point. There's nothing that we haven't seen. I mean, you know, we go to Choctaw and they're talking about, oh, it's going to be a pretty tough environment. Well, we played in the Superdome. So, you know, and the field was wet and okay, well, we played on a wet field at Plantation and at Flanagan. So, you know, I just like the kids to be prepared for every situation. And, you know, when the real money games come in the playoffs, then I know that they're going to be ready no matter what the situation is.
Yeah, 100%. And I kind of harken back to your quote at the you know, when I was standing there at FIU and, you know, somebody asked you about, well, you lost four or five times and da, 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 and you said, I'll take five losses any day if we sit here with this trophy. And I agree. I mean, because you went right from St. Joe's to play St. Thomas and Chaminade. And as you said, Edna Carr, and you played some of the toughest teams. And certainly you guys came outstanding. Coach, I can't thank you enough. Happy New Year to you. Please have a great time. Congratulations. Tell Coach Porter I said hello and good luck this week. We'll be watching.
Appreciate it, Larry. Thank you.
Good stuff. Mike Smith, head coach of American Heritage Plantation, who is the head coach of the East team out there in the Navy All-American Bowl. They have a dinner tonight, so I'm glad that he took time out before they went for the team dinner. What a great opportunity that they're going to have out there. Just like last week when they had the Under Armour contest here and a couple of our local players took part in it. Again, underclassmen. Mark Matthews from St. Thomas Aquinas, certainly Julio Jones Jr. And then Zayden Gamble. Who had an opportunity to take part in an all-star game as juniors, as underclassmen. And Zayden Gamble is kind enough to join us this evening. Zayden, thanks so much for taking the time. Congratulations on a great year, another state championship for St. Thomas. But what a great opportunity this past week it was for you to be in an all-star setting with some seniors and fellow juniors.
Yes, 100%. Thank you for having me here, Larry. It was a great setting to be around getting ready for college and going against some of the best players that high school's ever seen and getting my body, my mind, and my mentality ready for college and forever whatever I face. So whatever I'm going to play in high school or college, and even the NFL is what I is some of those players that I played this past weekend.
Yeah, and what a great thrill. And like I said, you know, last year was the first year they let the underclassmen play. And I saw a lot of the younger kids from South Florida that got an opportunity to play and do really well. And then this year I'm thinking, well, you know, the kids from St. Thomas will get in there occasionally, this and that. Every time I looked, you were on the field. I mean, you played pretty much the whole game. Talk about that, because you're going against, you know, kids that are going to be on campus next week or the week after. And like, and we were just talking with Coach Smith, like in Malachi Toney's position last year. I mean, he was, you know, look at what he's done in his first year. Talk about the experience that you gained going into your senior year, because now you come back, you and Mark and Jones, you guys come back and you've had this experience of already playing with the elite of the elite. Talk about that.
It was really eye-opening for, I can say, all three of us, just knowing that we played against the Malachi Tonys of next year's college football, and some of the best players that have played high school football and some of the most dominant players that play college football or high school football. And it was just truly an experience to be a part of that. And going against it, I feel like now we're going to be ready for anything that even tries to sniff our way. And I feel like nothing's going to even come close to being able to compete with the three of us.
And it's funny that you say that, because, I mean, look at what you're surrounded with every day in practice. I mean, the top, you know, you're going against Julio, or you're going against, you know, whoever in practice every single day. You're on a team that has won 7 straight state championships. You're in an environment, you know, with a great coaching staff with Coach Harriet. And I know that Coach Carroll was on the staff of the Under Armour game. Talk about that experience, because you kind of live this quote unquote all-star experience every day, because you're around the best receivers and the best running backs and great quarterbacks and outstanding offensive linemen. Talk about the experience of playing for St. Thomas Aquinas that gets you ready for the next level anyway.
It's a great experience to be a part of the best program in the universe. I mean, the people that I play against every day, the people I compete against in my classroom, people I can compete against in just life, it will far be greater and more of a competition than anybody I'll ever face on the football field. I mean, the guys that I compete in the classroom, like Julius and Mark and Jaden Carey, these are guys that give their blood, sweat, and tears to this game, and knowing this, it's eye-opening. It's eye-opening seeing the future of today's game in my classroom, and knowing that my closest friends are going to be with me as freshman All-Americans when it comes to college. Yeah. So I mean, it prepares me for these type of moments like the Under Armour game. Like, as you know, I'm a very high recruit in Florida and at my position, but in the nation, I'm not the highest recruit, and so it really tests me every day, because I'm not the highest recruit in the world, and I know that, and I'm not saying I'm the most athletic or best football player in the world, but playing at St. Thomas and being at St. Thomas, it battle tests you to where I could go into the Under Armour game and I could excel, and I could really show that I'm just like the rest of these guys who have all these 5 stars and 1,000 offers. Like, being at St. Thomas is not just a school, but it's a commitment to a brotherhood and a family and all to glorify God.
Yeah. No doubt. I 100% I agree with you, but I think you're selling yourself short. I think you're one of the best in the country. I think you showed it over the last week, and it's all being reflected in the recruiting process. And I know that a lot of schools have been looking at you as well. And as we're speaking with Zayden Gamble, Jr. at St. Thomas Aquinas, Zayden, talk about the recruitment, because now I think things have been accelerated. You know, we were just, you know, I talk to a lot of young men all the time, and, you know, in the past, the junior your class just started getting on the radar now, but you've been on the radar for a while because that's the process. Talk about the recruitment, because a lot of people don't understand this thing. It probably was from the time you're in ninth, 10th grade, they start looking at you. And now it all gets a little bit serious because, as they say, you're on the clock and you've got a lot of the programs. I know Auburn and Florida and FSU and Colorado and such have all been looking at you. Talk about what it is from your standpoint, what the recruitment is. I mean, because I'm sure they're sending you stuff all the time. They're contacting you when they can. They're watching you when you can. Talk about this process. Is it overwhelming, or is it something that you've kind of watched the other prospects over the last couple of years go through the same thing, so you're ready?
It's just a blessed position to be in at first. But no, it's not overwhelming just because of how ready that St. Thomas has made me. Like, I'm not going to say that, oh, I was built for this, but I think I've been battle tested and I've been ready for all the blessings that have been coming my way. Like, I'm completely aware of everything, and it's just fun. It's just a fun place to be in. Yeah. But there's nothing more I can say than it being fun. And I don't take it too hard. I don't take it as a joke, but I like having fun. I want to have fun with it. I want to really slow everything down and really acknowledge where I'm going to be for the next 3 or 4 years of my life.
I like it. Hey, listen, it's a great mindset, a great philosophy, and something that obviously you've learned from watching, you know, others go through the same situation. And so what is the next couple of months? You're conditioning? Do you do any other sports? Are you going to do 7-on-7s? What are you doing for the next couple of months?
For the next couple of months, I'll be in the weight room. I'll be on the track. I'll be doing a couple 7-on-7s, and I'll be visiting the potential colleges that I see myself going to.
Good stuff. Zayden, I can't thank you enough, brother. I mean, you've been awesome. I enjoyed watching you the other day. You looked like you had a lot of fun at the game. Yes, and I wish the weather was a little bit better, but nevertheless, you were. Yeah, every time I turned around, you were in the game. I saw Coach Harriet, and I said, where is Zayden? He goes, oh, he's right there. He's in the game. So, yeah, I like it. And like I said, you look like you're having a load of fun against some really good competition. Again, thanks so much for taking the time on this Monday, and Happy New Year to you, and we'll see you very, very soon.
Happy New Year to you, too, and thank you for having me.
Good stuff. Zayden Gamble, St. Thomas Aquinas Jr., defensive back. Great kid, as you could tell, and outstanding football player as well. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap up hour number one. Gio Milian will talk University of Miami football right after this.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 1043 WQAM, sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, wrapping up hour number one. Glad you could be with us up until 9 o'clock this evening. Thanks to Zayden Gamble, junior defensive back from St. Thomas Aquinas, for joining us in our last segment. He's doing a tremendous job and did a great job at the Under Armour game. But right now, the focus in South Florida is on this Thursday evening in Arizona. University of Miami in the semifinals of the college football playoffs. Who would have thunk it? Certainly early on in the season when we were in the press box at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami losing to Louisville. And then losing to SMU, you figured out, you know what, well, let's just play out the string. Let's go to bed. Miami is one win away from being a host. And I know I can see it now. I remember back in the day, oh, you only won this national title because you played in the Orange Bowl and all that stuff. Who cares, okay? If you get there, you get there. One guy who's been on with us all year, we've been talking about this, whether it be on this show or in the press box at the at Hard Rock Stadium is Gio Milian. Nobody covers the Hurricanes more ardent than he does, and he is kind enough to join us. Gio, one game away from being in a place we never thought they'd be.
Yeah, it's been quite the ride. You highlighted the Louisville and SMU games, especially after SMU. I mean, who would have thought Miami got to this point this year? But they certainly did. You know, they corralled everyone together. They've made doubters believers. And I'll be honest with you, Larry. I know many people have their questions about the Ole Miss team they're about to take on. I think Miami already took down the toughest opponent in their bracket with Ohio State.
Maybe the top two teams, because listen, remember Texas A&M was only lost one game coming in. And, you know, they were a pretty good team, and especially on the road before 104,000 hostile fans. So Miami hasn't had the easiest road. That's for darn sure. And remember, if they would have, everything would have gone true to form, they would have had Georgia this week, which was certainly no, you know, picnic as well. But I agree with you. I think that Miami has put everything into perspective. They've kind of like opened up the stops. We've seen the offense kind of open up a lot over the last six weeks. We knew the defense was going to be really tough. It's played tough all year, maybe one or two games where it got away. But I agree with you. I think Miami's been ready for this. I think they built for it. And this was what Mario Cristobal was saying when they were on the bubble as far as getting into the playoffs at all. Hey, we deserve it. We've played extremely well. You know, we lost SMU, a team that, you know, I mean, we should have. Listen, they held them to minus yards rushing going into overtime. And, you know, and certainly the Louisville game where they turned the ball over four times, Gio, and they were still in the game into the last drive. So, obviously, Miami has that type of team. Talk about what you expect this week. And certainly, I think, you know, obviously, Trinidad Chambliss is a great quarterback, but Miami's played some really good football teams this year. And certainly, you know, you could make a case for everybody who's left in the Final Four that everybody might be a team of destiny, from Indiana to Oregon, now Ole Miss, who got abandoned by their head coach, and then Miami, a team that a lot of people, you know, and I keep remembering this after week five, and listening to Kirk Herbstreit and all these quote-unquote, you know, gurus of the game, they said after 5 weeks that Miami was the best team after 5 weeks and it wasn't close. And I kept thinking to myself, what changed? What changed? Talk about where Miami sits, because I think right now that they have the talent and to take this thing all the way.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Look at this. I think it's interesting enough. You mentioned about the other three teams still remaining at this point between Ole Miss, Indiana, and Oregon, along with Miami. The funny thing about that is Indiana and Oregon, they both have never won a national championship. And then Ole Miss, the last time they won a national championship, you have to go back to the 1960s. So it's been a very long time for one program and basically never for the other two. So Miami's the only program coming into this that has been there before and plenty of times as well, playing for national championships between the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. I'm sure we all know that very well. But sure. I think Miami has shown that they belong here. They absolutely have. That was my biggest thing for Miami coming into the playoff was win or lose, show that you belong. They've proven that they've belonged. And my thing about Ole Miss, I know many people are terrified about the matchup with Trinidad Chambliss. And yes, he was on fire against Georgia, but there's other ranked teams that he played this year that he didn't have the greatest of all games. So is Lightning going to strike twice? Is he going to have another historic night against Miami's defense? I would be hard-pressed to think so, actually. I think Miami matches up very well with them. Ole Miss has some problems up front in the trenches, especially the offensive line. If you go back and watch their tape against the Bulldogs just this past game, I know Georgia didn't come out on top, but I think maybe Georgia was a little too aggressive on defense and gave Ole Miss too many chunk plays.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, here's another thing, too. You know, I thought after beating Texas A&M, Miami be so sky high and, oh, you know, just say, hey, you know what? That's it. I mean, we won. People doubted us. But they went into the Cotton Bowl, Gio, with a whole different frame. And I think that you're going to see the same thing this week. It's a workmanlike type of deal. They're not taking anything for granted. They're not going to say, hey, you know what? There's no consolation prizes here. We win this thing or we don't win this thing. And that's, you know, you look at Mario Cristobal, his mindset, the coaching staff, and obviously this defense. Corey Heatherman, and you and I talked about this several times this year, what a great job he did. He utilized a lot of talent. But again, remember the key pieces that were added this year in the secondary, you know, with the Jacoby Thomases and guys like Mohamed Touré, who people don't really talk much about, but he leads the team in tackles. And he's a guy that used to play for Heatherman at Rutgers. So obviously he knew a lot about him. So the pieces that were added on the defensive side, because I know you and I agree that if they had last year's offense with this defense, geez, they may be able to beat the Raiders. I mean, you know, I mean, it was amazing how much talent they had on offense, but their offense has come around to the point where they're mixing things up. Obviously, you know, people are waiting for Carson Beck to put these 300-yard gains, but he doesn't have to. He's managing the football game. He's not throwing any interceptions. He's letting the ground game. Mark Fletcher's come around in a major way. You know, they're running the ball extremely well. You know, even when Malachi Toney acts like a freshman, which hasn't been much this year, but even when he does, there's other guys to pick him up. And I think that has been offensively the reason why Miami has been able to do this, because they're not relying on one guy and they're using a lot of different facets to get it done. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree with you. From Mark Fletcher on down to, and now that they have CJ Daniels back, Keelan Marion has made some key plays for them down the stretch as well, especially in terms of moving the chains. I think that's such an underrated aspect to his games. You constantly see him picking up first downs. Malachi Toney, even though he hasn't had the biggest impact in the playoffs, I'm sure that's coming. And reason why I'll say that is I think Miami may have already played the best secondary that they'll face in the playoffs from the Ohio State group. Ole Miss, they have questions with their back seven. They're pretty stout on the interior with their two defensive tackles. They have one of the better linebackers in the SEC in Suntory and Perkins, but they don't create a lot of turnovers. They don't do too well against the passing game, too. I think Miami, the ways that they could attack Ole Miss on the perimeter, on the perimeter. I think this is a game where we could even see Gerard Pringle flash a bit more again, as he did late in the season. And just flipping over defensively how Miami matches up with Ole Miss, I think they have to contain Trinidad Chambliss. I think they need their defensive tackles to be able to create pressure on the interior. And in terms of the secondary, I mean, it's a huge boon for the defense that it's anticipated you're getting Damari Brown and OJ Frederick back for this matchup, because Ole Miss, they have five receivers who have over 500 receiving yards this season.
Yeah, well, like you said, timing is everything. I look for, I really do. I look for Miami to be at home on the 19th. Which would be great. And, whether they play or, because I sat through the Oregon game last week with that game against Texas Tech. It wasn't the most entertaining game in the world, but I did see an Oregon team, you know, that's a little bit more focused. Gio, let everybody know how they can follow, because obviously social media wise, you guys do a great podcast. And I know you have something leading up in the next couple of days.
Yeah, everyone can follow me on X at Gio Milian. I'm on various different shows as well. Mostly I do a lot of the Caneswear podcast with Brett and those guys. Make sure to shop at Caneswear. Get your Miami gear out there. Right there in Davie, Florida, right by the Hard Rock Stadium. Hopefully and willfully enough that Miami makes it to the national championship. It's a short drive from Hard Rock Stadium.
Yep, not far at all. Gio, I can't thank you enough. Happy New Year. Appreciate you as always.
Thank you, Larry. Anytime.
Good stuff. Gio Milian will wrap up hour number one. Do not go away. We have some really good guests coming right up until 9 o'clock.
Hurricanes basketball plays. Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
And welcome to hour number two. Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris taking you up until 9 o'clock on this Monday evening. Glad you could be with us. Thanks to everybody who has been listening to us and texting and sending messages to the station. I thank you very much for everything. And if you miss everything or anything tonight, just go to WQAM.com, go to the top of the page where it says podcast. And you can hit us right there at South Florida High School Sports. Hit every guest that we've had over the last couple of years. There's been some really good shows. We had a best of last week that kind of illustrated a lot of those really good shows. And we had a really good first hour as well. We talked a little bit of everything. We started off talking to Mike Smith, the head coach at American Heritage Plantation, who's won the last two state championships. We hadn't had an opportunity to talk with him since the state championship, and now he's out west in San Antonio at the Navy All-American game. Has brought one of his players, Amari Nugent, out there. Also his defensive coordinator, Daryl Porter, plus a couple of other players from the South Florida area. We also talked to Zayden Gamble, junior defensive back from St. Thomas Aquinas, who had an opportunity to watch this past weekend up at the Under Armour. And we just talked about the University of Miami and Ole Miss Rebels on Thursday in the national semifinals. How about that? Talked to Gio Million. But we open up hour number two with somebody that we have on every year. We talk a lot of football, talk some recruiting, we talk NIL, but we kind of mix it up a little bit with Chad Wilson from Gridiron Studs tonight, because he played at the University of Miami, a defensive back, and you know, both of his sons played collegiately and in the NFL as well, so he knows a little bit, just a tad, about the recruiting process. And we welcome in Chad Wilson. Chad, thanks so much for taking the time, and a happy new year to you. And certainly kind of a thrilling college football season, where probably midway it didn't look, you know, too good for Miami, but it's looking pretty good right now.
Anytime we're vying for that top spot, it is a great football season, Larry. And happy new year to you and everyone else listening.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I don't know if you heard, but, you know, we started off, we talked a little bit with Mike, and obviously you've been with Mike before. And, you know, we talked about the way that things have gone with the NIL. And I noticed it last year when in these All-Star games, they started including underclassmen. And at the time, it kind of didn't dawn on me as much, Chad. But this year, when I was up in Orlando and watching so many juniors out there, I said, okay. These NIL contracts now are starting to prohibit these kids from playing in these All-Star games, because obviously in 9 or 10 days, they want them on campus. They want them healthy, and they want them vying for, you know, a position on the football team where they're playing a lot of money. Talk about how that has changed the entire picture of, as far as, you know, recruiting has gone. Because last year we talked about it, you and I, how, you know, the NIL and then the portal is cut into, you know, the high school recruiting. But still, there's a lot of schools, Miami in particular, that has found a way to kind of keep relevant in the recruiting of high school football players.
And it's had a major trickle-down effect. You know, we talked last year about high school. I hear more about how it has affected youth football, because the parents of youth football players are closer to the money. And so, you know, you'd have to wait till a kid turned 20, 21 years old. He came out early from college and went into the NFL. And then, you know, there was a big contract signed. Now you have the ability to do that at 17, 18 years old, maybe even 16 years old if the kid reclassifies and is able to do that. So there's more pressure for the 8-9 year old to be on course. And that's just such an unreal
an unrealistic situation because you have no idea what a kid is at 8 or 9 years old. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure parents are putting on themselves. They're putting on the youth football coaches, and they're putting on these players who may not even really like football like that yet. So there's a major trickle-down effect. I just think, though, Larry, that, you know, we're two older guys. We could say that. But we, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube. So I think everyone just needs to adjust to what is the current college football. It does not look at all like anything it what looked like 10 years ago. Certainly doesn't look like anything that I played in. It's almost a totally different sport. And I think folks are just going to have to adjust where to a situation where Texas Tech can bring in a transfer quarterback and pay him $5 million. It's eye-popping, but that's just our new reality.
Yeah, no, I agree. And even if you go back to Quincy and Marco, your two sons, which really wasn't that long ago, it was a different time then. You know, it wasn't what it is now. So what you're probably learning now is through your All Eyes camps and stuff that you're talking to a lot of the parents who are of today, as you mentioned, youth football, first couple of years of high school football. So you're learning a lot more about what they're being approached with. You know, I talk to people like Robert Bailey and people like that. And, you know, it's just, as you just said, you got to keep up with the times. I mean, you can complain about it all you want, but you know, when you take a look at it, Chad, this is where we're at. I mean, this is where we're at, and either you adapt or you fall behind. And, you know, I mean, I'm a little bit older, so for me, it would be tougher to comprehend, but I'm of that belief that I understand. Okay, I'm not going to close my mind to it because I have to work in this industry, you know. So I understand it. You're in the same boat. I mean, you know, I mean, you're at a position where you deal with this all the time because parents are going to come up to you and ask you your advice or your opinion because they know you've been through it. They've known, you know, they knew you played. They know your, you know, your sons have been in this situation. How do you deal with this? Do you just go and say, hey, listen, you know what? You got to go with what everybody else is doing, because if you don't, then you'll fall behind.
Yeah, I mean, we could complain about the price of gas, but unless you figure out something else you could put in the tank to make the car go, you're just going to have to pay the price. A lot of what I get question-wise, though, is just dealing with the transfer portal. And I think that's probably the biggest problem that we have. That we have an unregulated, so to speak, transfer portal combined with NIL. And I think that's probably our biggest problem. I think if they could put some more rules on the transfer portal, I think it would kind of cure a whole lot of the other issues that we might have. But a lot of what I face is just the transfer portal. And it's not necessarily the top of the line kids, because frankly, I'm not an agent. I'm not in that financial world, so I'm not dishing out advice on what NIL deal you should take. And quite frankly, it's usually the highest bidder is usually how this thing works, fortunately or unfortunately. The bigger issue for the masses is just going in the transfer portal because maybe a player or two came in at your position at school that you didn't expect, and now you've got to make a decision about your future. Or a guy is, you know, he was not highly recruited coming out of high school and he went to a lower division and, you know, he's had a good season. Was the season good enough? Should I go in a transfer portal? Should I try to level up? Everyone's trying to get to the money somehow. And so that decision gets made. I know there's 4,500 kids in the transfer portal. Probably will be 100 more when we're done with this segment. And they're not all going to find a new home, and many of them are probably making a poor decision. But again, this is the college football that exists. My biggest heart, my heart aches though for the high school football players, because they're probably the ones taking it. They're getting it the hardest out of this whole situation. Yeah.
100%. And I agree with you. And, you know, here's a scenario too. Okay. And I try to rationalize this because of the fact that look at, you know, and not just at Miami, but we could look at Miami with the quarterback situation with Cam Ward last year. And then obviously Carson Beck this year, but yet they went out and got two high profile quarterbacks. And I always say this, if I'm, you know, a Darian Coleman, who's coming out of Orlando Jones as a, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, I say, go to Florida A&M, go to Kaiser, go to one of those schools, cut your teeth, get your 2 years in, build a resume, and then you could start, you know, talking. Look at Tiger from Northwestern. He had to go to Western Carolina, set all these type of records this last year. You look at somebody that's, you know, like Luke Nickel. To me, if I was saying to him out of high school in Milton, Georgia, I say, hey, go to Georgia State. Go to Georgia Southern. Play your year. Play your 2 years. Then you have a resume to build up. See, because that, to me, is a lot better than coming to Miami and sitting your butt on the bench. Because I noticed this year, even when Miami was up 38-7 on Pittsburgh with 4 minutes left, Emery Williams was still on the bench. So where does that go? Where does that, you know, because Miami wanted to try to impress and score as many as possible. So what happens with players like that? You're not going to build a billion dollar roster, Chad, with and then put a $5 watch band on it. You're just not.
No,
you're going to go.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct, Larry. That's good advice. I think you definitely go where you're wanted, where you're needed, and you know, whether you're a kid or definitely if you're an adult, because you've got some experience in this world. You know who those people are. Unless you're one of these guys whose dream it was to play at a particular school and just wear the colors and, you know, whatever, with the depth chart be damned, then okay, you go do that. But outside of that, everywhere is pretty much a junior college now. So if you weren't highly touted, they're not throwing numbers your way, go to a smaller school and, you know, try to rack it up there, try to prove yourself there, be dominant. You know, stuff the stat sheet, and this sounds crazy because this is a team sport and really shouldn't be all about that, but it really does sound like everyone's out for themselves. But go build yourself up at one of these smaller programs, and then every year you do have the opportunity to go somewhere else. The only fear there is that at some point they may decide to put some rules in on transferring, and that, you know, you could get caught at a school that you can't really get out of. But until that point, use the system for what it is and how it is. And like you said, you know, if you're not highly touted, go to the school that wants you. I think these schools, the smaller schools, understand that these players are one-year renewables. Most will probably have a kid, if he's really good and has, you know, set our league on fire, is 2 years, and then we know that kid's gone.
Yeah.
Well, these coaches they've mixed that into the whole equation. We're not keeping a guy 4 years at a lower school if he's dominating.
Yeah, 100%. And, I mean, you look at guys like Alex Orji, who was one of the best high school quarterbacks coming out of a generation, and he's at UNLV sitting the bench. You got guys like DJ Lagway. Oh, he's going to be a savior today. He's looking at FSU now. I mean, and you look at Jaden Rashada, who was out for the money from the beginning, and he's going to school number four now. So to me, build your resume, you know, suck it up, because what you're doing is you're investing in yourself. And that's what was told to me. Listen, you know what? You go to – and look at how many avenues you have down here, from Florida Memorial to St. Thomas University to Kaiser University. Heck, you have a Division II program at West Florida. You know, I mean, that to me is where you start doing your job. I mean, you know what? You know, put your ego behind you. Go win a job over at one of these small schools. Put in a year or two, and that's great. Before I let you go, let everybody, because I know you do a great thing with your All Eyes defensive back camp. Please let everybody know how they can get involved in that, because I mean, you do a tremendous job in getting kids ready, you know, for whatever level, for youth football, for high school, for whatever. Let everybody know how they can contact you, because we're going to have you back on and we'll talk a little bit more of that, you know, in the spring. But I just want to give you a forum to let everybody know how they can get involved in that as well.
Absolutely, Larry. Coaching the secondary, training guys to play well in that back end has been a passionate pursuit of mine for quite some time. So anyone with defensive backs ages 13 plus all the way up to the pros, you can reach out to me for defensive back training. You can reach me on Instagram at All Eyes DB Camp, or you can go to alleyesdbcamp.com. Find me there, reach out, and even if you're out of the area and you can't meet me in person, I've got great resources for you that can help you with your game. and get you to that NIL money that you are seeking as well.
Look at you, man. I love it. And if you go, you get his pretty wife, Carmen, who helps out as well. She does.
Absolutely.
She more than pulls her weight around there. So she does a great job as well. Hey, listen, I can't thank you enough. Happy New Year. Say that to the family for me. We'll talk soon. I appreciate you. And I know that you'll be rooting for Miami on Thursday evening.
No doubt. Same to you, Larry. Appreciate you having me on. Happy New Year. Thank you.
You too. Chad Wilson, Gridiron Stud and All Eyes Camp. We appreciate him checking in. I wanted to get a little bit more into what he does, but we got kind of carried away on the NIL, but which is very important as well. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, talk a little bit of football with Christy Krueger from WPLG Channel 10. And we'll wrap things up for the national recruiting editor from Max Preps, Zach Poff. That's coming up next.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, taking you up until 9 o'clock. Glad you could be with us on this Monday evening, a little later for you, about an hour later. But what the heck, you know, I mean, we're here, kind of dance our way through the Panthers and the Heat. But you know what? I thought what a special night this was, being our first show of the new year. And I was sitting there the other day, and I was going through a lot of stuff. And, you know, I have all this things that I come across, something from 1967, University of Southern California. And I had a picture, and there he is, Phil Krueger, on the staff of John McKay, University of Southern California. He went on to be a head football coach at Fresno State and Utah State, was assistant in Illinois, and then joined McKay with the Tampa Bay Bucks and from the infancy. And, you know, when you're a child of a football coach, sometimes it's not the easiest world to live in, or a wife. You're moving all the time. You're on the road, you know, here and there. Dad's got a job here. He's got a job there. But Christy Krueger kind of lived that fantasy life of being, you know, a girl with a father who was a football coach. And certainly, you know, either you love it or you don't. And, you know, I'm looking at, you know, Matthew Stafford and his four daughters and how they're, you know, kind of embracing what he does. And I thought, wow, what a neat story this is. A lot of people, you know, watch Christy every day for the last decades and probably never even knew that she went through this life, but certainly we did. And we had her father, Phil, great guy, on the show a few times in the past, and we welcome Christy on this evening. Christy, first of all, Happy New Year to you. Thanks so much for taking the time. And I thought, well, what a great story this is that a lot of people don't even know.
Yeah. Well, Happy New Year to you as well. I know I talk about him every once in a while on the air, but yeah, you're right. A lot of people don't know that I grew up in a football family. I actually kind of wanted to be a football player when I was younger until I realized that was probably not in the cards. But yeah, it was interesting to be a football coach's daughter. But it was good on Mondays when they won, not so good on Mondays if they had a loss. Because a lot of Monday, you know, the morning quarterbacks out there, a lot of teachers and students who thought they knew more than my dad, and I had to listen to that on Monday. So you got a tough skin, got a thick skin after a while.
You know, but your dad, when you look at it, he was part of history. And we talked about this when I had him on the show, when Kim Bocamper and I talked to him about him helping Bear Bryant, he and Coach McKay helping Bear Bryant get the first African-American football player to Alabama. Because, as Absolutely. You know, your dad had the wild bunch, you know, the big defensive ends with Al Cowlings, who we kind of know now from, you know, from the Bronco chase, but he had him on the line with some really good football players. Talk about that, because I think, you know, being, you know, a football coach is great, but being part of that history, especially during times where, you know, African-American football players weren't welcome in some of the Southern universities.
It was, I mean, I think that was something my dad was most proud of. I mean, that's what he was really all about. It was about the team and you know, making good men out of these young men, his players. And, yeah, he did recruit AC, as you know, and he did take a team. He was one of the assistants with John McKay when they went into Alabama, and they just killed Bear Bryant's team. And so that all of a sudden made the folks in Alabama realize, okay, we need to open our eyes and allow African-Americans on our team. And my dad had actually recruited one player, and McKay went to him and said, you know what, we're going to give him to Bear. We're going to give this guy to Bear. And, and that was the kind of relationship that McKay had with Bear Bryant. In fact, when I'm thinking of my dad, I think of my dad as probably up there with Bear and McKay, and McKay's got a cigar in his mouth, and they're looking down and watching all of us down here and maybe kind of shaking their heads at how football's going these days. But, you know, it was a great time, and certainly there were a lot of changes being made back in the 60s and 70s in football, and he was a part of that.
Yeah, and you probably don't remember a lot when he was at Utah State or Fresno State, but you did probably know more about it when he was with the NFL and spent the years at Tampa Bay. Obviously, you grew up in Tampa Bay. You went to Plant High School and then became a Gator the line. I know you live in – talk about those days, because those were really lean days in Tampa. I mean
– Those were tough. I do remember my dad's – had two stints at Utah State, once as an assistant coach when I was not even born yet. Then he went to Fresno State, and that's where I was born. But when he was at Utah State the second time, he was a head coach. And I do remember those days. But then he came from Utah State when I was in sixth grade. We moved. And he was the first assistant coach hired by McKay. And those worst to first days were not so much fun. I mean, it was so frustrating. And you get to get so close so many times and have so many great players and just never be able to get the W was very difficult. And as I mentioned, you know, here I am going to school, and I mean, the bus drivers, the kids on the bus, I mean, people can be pretty brutal when you're losing week after week after week. But you know, then the first win comes, and you're a hero all over again. But I enjoyed the Buccaneer days. You know, they had their ups and their downs, mostly downs, but you know, it paid the bills, which is a good thing. And I just love football. And I loved watching my dad on the sidelines and, you know, enjoying the team. And he had great stories about players and things he had done for the players. And I'm just very proud of the career that he had.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's probably kind of interesting for your mom, too. Your mom grew up in the state of Washington, and she is finding herself in Tampa. And I know Kathy's been, she's been a trooper through the years. I mean, obviously she followed him around and certainly has, you know, been your right hand for a lot of years.
Well, you know, it's very difficult for families, especially in college, because of all those months that they're recruiting. I can remember my dad leaving shortly after Christmas, and we wouldn't see him for weeks at a time. It was just my mom and me, because he was on the road, you know, doing the visits to different players, and then the players would come to our house. And I can remember him downstairs in our house in Utah, meeting with the different players as they came into town. But you're right. My dad, when he moved to Tampa, he actually came to Tampa, bought a house, and my mom was left behind in Utah to pack everything up and get the furniture and move us cross country. So she was definitely a trooper, and I suspect most football wives have had similar paths. It may be a little bit easier these days. There's a little more money in the game than there was back then, but certainly the wives and the families of football coaches, it's a tough time. I mean, look how many coaches have gotten fired in the last couple of days, and you know that all those families are having to pick up the pieces and figure that they're going to be moving their family somewhere.
No doubt. A few more dollars involved these days than there were then, obviously.
Yeah.
So you can suck it up a little bit.
You can. But, you know, back when my dad was at USC, I mean, we talk about NIL now and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, it wasn't kind of uncommon back then to get the alumni involved and have them give players, quote unquote, jobs. And, but back then it was kind of to help put food on the family table and maybe get clothes on the backs of some of these kids who were coming from nothing. So it's there's a lot more money involved, and I think that's where my dad would probably be rolling over in his grave. He didn't like the business as much as he liked the X's and O's.
No doubt. How did Troy become a Green Bay Packer fan? Is that a long story? Or
that is, no, you know what? He just, I don't know. What I think he latched on to Brett, back in the Brett Favre days, and he never let go. Yeah, that's my son, Troy, and he's in Houston now and working and has a wife and a child. But, yeah, he's been a big Packer backer, cheesehead here for a while, and thus our family enjoys that team. Of course, we cheer for the Dolphins. We cheer for the Buccaneers. But right now, we only have one team going into the playoffs this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, you do. Well, listen, you know, you got the Gators to look forward to in the future. And
oh boy,
Chrissy,
I
can't,
so.
I can't thank
can't
you enough.
Get any worse than last year.
Happy New Year to you. All the best.
You.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us. It's great. You know, I figured, you know, all the pictures that I've sent you of dad, you know, throughout the years and growing up a USC fan. I kind of like, you know, I mean, I felt kind of an attachment to him. And like I said, great man.
Thank you.
Enjoyed talking to him. And again, have a good New Year to you and your
you
family.
Have a great
congratulations.
New Year as well.
Congratulations on your daughter, Kelsey.
Yep.
And
she's having a baby as well. Yep, got babies coming next year.
Good for you. Chrissy, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Chrissy Krueger from Channel 10 right here, WPLG. I'm telling you, a great story with her dad. Her dad, great. Great guy and part of history when it comes to recruiting as far as getting the first African-American player to Alabama when he was at USC. And it was a fun talking to her, and certainly a lot of people who watch the news every day had no clue where, you know, where she came from or what, you know, what happened during her time growing up. But how about that? You know, that's a great story as well. Speaking about great stories, this 2025 high school football season, not only locally, but nationally, and somebody who has been on top of it the entire year from start to finish, from the beginning when Matter Day went into the 2025 season as the number one football team in the country. And then by the end of the year, Buford of Georgia wears the crown. We welcome in Zach Poff. Zach, thanks so much for taking the time. A happy new year to you. Great seeing you earlier this year. And what a great season. A great season because it was kind of unexpected at the end. Some of the teams that kind of gravitated towards the top.
Yeah, first of all, Happy New Year, Blue. And, you know, I love jumping on and chopping it up with you, man. It's always fun. And, yeah, this last year, I mean, I felt like this was one of the more unpredictable seasons we've seen. A lot of parity this year, which is good. You know, it just shows you that, you know, there are other programs out there that are matching the, you know, Modern Day, St. John Bosco's, Bishop Gorman, St. Thomas Aquinas's, and so on and so on. So it was a fun year. A lot of stuff happening. But, yeah, it was great.
And you take a look at some of the teams, you know, that kind of made their way to the top. I mean, we know Gorman and we know St. Francis Academy, but here's Santa Margarita, which had a tremendous year, played one of the tougher schedules. And we know that you know, not only that, but the Trinity League. And we saw, you know, Orange Lutheran this year and had an opportunity to watch Matter Day. And we know that Bosco is always a really good program. Talk about some of the other teams that kind of were unexpected, you know, towards the end of the season. I know that Buford had a really good team, but did you see at the beginning of the year that they could be the national champions?
No, I think going into this year, I think most people thought Grayson would really be the team to beat in the state of Georgia, especially in the largest classification in 6A. But, you know, obviously with their quarterback, Travis Burgess, going down, that kind of opened the door for other teams in Georgia. You know, you saw Carrollton have a good run. They lost to Buford in the state championship game. And this is actually, you know, the first time in the Max Preps era since 2002 that a team from Georgia finished the year ranked at number one, which is kind of crazy to think of because, you know, Georgia, in my opinion, is right up there with the Californias, Floridas, and Texas when it comes to high school football. So, yeah, you know, Buford was on our radar, obviously. But, yeah, I was kind of – I didn't see them finishing the year at number one. They started the year ranked right around the top 10. So, you know, they were right there. And, you know, had a great season, went 15-0 and winning that 6A Georgia bracket. That's as tough as any playoff bracket in high school football. So, you know, well-deserved for Buford. We'll actually be going out there next Friday and honoring them with their Max Preps national championship and doing a nice thing over there. So that'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, you know, Santa Margarita too, great year. Carson Palmer did a tremendous job in his first year as head coach. And, you know, we talk all the time how important it is for teams to schedule hard during non-league, non-conference games, because at the end of the day, when you do that, you learn a lot throughout the season. It helps you when you get to the playoffs, if, you know, as opposed to when you play games that aren't the toughest, you're undefeated, but you haven't really been tested. It usually doesn't bode well for teams in the playoffs. So I'd recommend doing what kind of Carson Palmer is doing at Santa Margarita. Play the toughest teams. It's going to get you battle tested and get you ready for the playoffs. And you saw them win their first state title since 2011 this year.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's kind of like we had Mike Smith from American Heritage on and to begin the show. You know, he's out. He's the East coach this week at the Navy All-American game. And, you know, he said the same thing, Zach. You know, when people were talking to him at the end of the game after they beat Orlando Jones for a state title. And, you know, he says, you know, we'll take the 4 or 5 losses as long as we end up having a trophy. And, you know, they played a tough schedule coming 28 down against St. Joe's to beat St. Joe's in the opening game and playing Edna Carr into double overtime, you know, in the Superdome. And, you know, and obviously a lot of these teams playing tougher schedules. And you had the opportunity this year to go out and see these teams every week and, you know, doing your broadcast. Talk about what that was like for you.
Oh, man, what a great experience. Because, you know, there's just something different about high school football. It's still pure, man. It's not like college football now with the NIL, where it's just not as pure as it used to be. High school football is special. And you hear guys in the NFL all the time talk about their favorite times is usually what Friday night high school football was like. And it was great getting to travel to different cities. You know, we went out to South Florida, saw the Chaminade Aquinas game, able to catch up with you. That was a ton of fun. You know, my favorite experience, though, was going out to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and getting to do the Baylor-McCauley game and getting a chance to see David Gabriel George, a 5-star running back in the class of 2027 for Baylor. Just a great environment, a huge rivalry. It was just it's fun to get to experience all those different games. It was fun. You know, we did it for 12 straight weeks. Every Friday, hit up a different city, and you got to broadcast the game every Friday night for, you know, 12 straight weeks. It was a ton of fun. I don't know if my wife was the happiest because we just had a baby right before that, so I was traveling a little more, but it was well worth it, man. It's just a great experience to get to see what different areas of, you know, around the country are like in high school football. It was awesome. You know, next year we're going to be doing the same thing, and I already can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously a lot of the teams that, you know, finish towards the top will be programs that you're going to watch during the spring and see how they progress. Obviously, we know that Bishop Gorman and St. Francis Academy and schools like that are going to be right back at the top. They're always going to have a lot of talent. And obviously, you know, I got a one. I announced that you were going to be on. A couple of people had texted me the two teams, Baylor, which you mentioned, and they said they're going to be loaded again next year. Tell Zach to keep an eye on us, and and also Bixby, Oklahoma, which another one that we got. And they said, hey, listen, we only lost 3 starters on offense and 2 on defense. Come back with 17. Said, pretty much, please tell that Zach to keep an eye on us. And I don't have to tell you, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, they're going to be there again next year. Roger Harriet, and it was fun seeing you at the Chaminade game this year. I think it was a great atmosphere to be around, and certainly great to have you there. And again, I can't thank you enough for coming on with us the way you do. And it's awesome. And we don't get a chance to talk about the Dodgers too much. You guys keep spending money, and there's nothing we're going to be able to do to keep up with you. And nevertheless, hey, have a great new year. I can't thank you enough for being part of our show this year, and we'll talk soon.
And Blue, I just want to tell you, I don't feel bad at all for taking the Mets closer. It's all good with me. So
thanks. I appreciate that. We have nobody left, you know.
So, exactly. You're letting everybody walk. No, I appreciate you, Blue. Everything you do for high school football, man. Everybody around the country knows you're the guy in South Florida, man. And you're the best at what you do, man. I appreciate you. And, you know, this is the perfect way to start the new year, jump on Larry Bluestein's show. So,
yep, back at you, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon. And good luck with the baby.
All right, Blue. Appreciate you, man.
Good stuff. Zach Poff from the national recruiting writer for Max Preps does a great job. Listen, he goes places. That's what I try to tell you. You get a lot of these people that sit home and they're computer recruiters and they don't get an opportunity to really go see these guys. But Zach, we had a chance to finally meet him this year at the St. Thomas Aquinas Chaminade game. A lot of fun there as well. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Monday evening. Don't go away.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, back to wrap things up for you on a Monday. What a great show, and I'm glad that you were part of our first show of the 2026 year. We had started out with Mike Smith, the head coach at American Heritage Plantation, who is out in San Antonio this week as the head coach of the East team in the Navy game. Checked in with Zayden Gamble. Great interview with that. Zayden is a junior defensive back at St. Thomas Aquinas. Hopefully you'll check out all of our interviews. We'll be having them up in just a few minutes on WQAM.com. You could relive everything that we've done for years if you'd like, but we'd like for you to concentrate on this week. First of all, Gio Milian, who is with us a lot during the course of a football season, talked a little bit about the University of Miami's game this week against Ole Miss in the national semifinals in the college football playoffs. We checked in with him just a little bit about that as well. Chad Wilson, I wish we could have spent more time with Chad as it is. We had a good 15-minute conversation about the NIL and transfer portal and such. Both of his sons played at the University of Florida and then went on to the NFL. So he kind of is, and he played quite a bit as well. Becomes a, forget about the Gators, now becomes a Hurricane fan this week as well. We talked to Christy Krueger from WPLG Channel 10. A lot of you don't know, you do know that she's a great anchor, news anchor, but you don't know that she's her past in football with her dad being a head football coach at the collegiate level and being an assistant coach with the Tampa Bay Bucks back in the lean years. But nevertheless, she's been a football fan all of her young life. We checked in with her. And also, we talked a little bit of the 2025 wrap-up of the high school football season locally and nationally with Zach Poff from Max Prep. So we kind of did it for you as well. We'll be back with you next week for an hour, obviously before the Panther game. But this was a show we wanted to kind of hit you hard with, kind of set the tone for the 2026 year. And we did just that this evening. So that's going to do it for this evening. Great job, as always, for Trevor Harris. And we thank you so much. We will be on the pregame on Thursday, I believe around 3:30 or 4 o'clock. Try to get in with us a little bit on there. Again, thanks so much for taking the time on this Monday evening. Have a great week. We will talk to you next week.